All right, welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're going to tackle a pretty big one that we get asked about a lot, and that is, what does it mean that humanity is made in the image of God?
Yeah.
You sent us some pretty fascinating material from Dr. Robert C. Newman, especially some of his ideas about how understanding God's relationships can help us grasp what that means. Mm-hmm. And we're also going to be looking at Dr. Peterson's work, Humanity and Sin, Session 7, where he kind of synthesizes some of Newman's insights from this article that that Newman wrote, which I guess it was an article, some perspectives on the image of God in man from biblical theology.
Right. Yeah. So what I think is so compelling about Newman's approach is that it really kind of shifts the focus.
Okay.
Instead of just sort of listing qualities that we share with God.
Right.
It it points us to how God describes himself in relationship to us and the world around us.
Okay.
And he uses these analogies drawn straight from human experience and human connection.
Okay. Yeah. So our goal today is to unpack this for you and see how all these comparisons, you know, God as a potter shaping clay, God as a gardener tending to plants, or a shepherd caring for sheep, or a king ruling a kingdom, or even, you know, a parent or spouse within a family.
Yeah.
How all of these comparisons can give us a deeper understanding of what it means to be made in God's image. And hopefully it'll spark some new thoughts about your own life and how you interact with everything around you.
Okay, so to start us off, what is the central thrust of Newman's idea here?
Yeah, so Newman's core argument is that one of the most insightful ways to understand the image of God in humanity is to look at these relational pictures that God paints of himself. And these are not abstract theological concepts. These are analogies grounded in the everyday human experience of relationships, from how we interact with objects all the way to our connections within families. By examining these relational analogies, we can discover how we as humans reflect God in the world.
Okay.
So this framework, this way of looking at it, kind of starts with how we relate to the inanimate world.
Yes.
Right? Like the analogy of the potter and the clay.
Yeah. The comparison here is pretty powerful.
Yeah.
God as the ultimate potter and humanity as his creation, the clay.
Right.
Newman suggests that when you or I engage in acts of creativity, whether it's something artistic or even just, you know, solving a problem in any way, we're sort of echoing God's own act of creation.
Okay, so that impulse you might feel to build something, to design something, to you know, write a song or paint a picture or something like that that reflects God's creative power.
Absolutely. And it's not just the creation itself, but the intention behind it. The purpose.
Yeah.
Just as a potter envisions the final form of the pot before even touching the clay.
Yeah.
God had a plan and a purpose in creating humanity and the entire universe.
Okay.
Our own capacity to plan and to bring our ideas into reality is another facet of this divine attribute.
And there's also the aspect of sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the potter has complete control over the clay, shaping it as desired.
That's right.
And this, in a limited way, mirrors God's ultimate sovereignty over all that he has made.
Yeah.
And scripture uses this very image. You know, we see it in Isaiah 64.8 where it says,
right.
But now, O Lord, you are our father. We are the clay and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand.
It's a powerful image.
Yeah, it really makes you think.
Yeah.
Have you ever been absorbed in a creative project and just felt a real sense of purpose?
Oh, yeah.
Newman's idea here is that feeling might be a small resonance of God's own creative purpose.
It's a beautiful connection to make. Now, let's consider how we relate to the plant world through the analogy of the gardener or the farmer and the plants.
Yeah, this brings in the idea of responsibility, doesn't it?
Yeah.
God is the ultimate gardener, and we humans as the ones tending to his garden.
Precisely. Newman proposes that our acts of caring for plants, nurturing them, providing what they need to flourish, mirror God's own care and intention for our lives.
Okay.
This is often described in terms of bearing fruit, whether that's the fruit of our actions or the development of our character.
Right.
Just as a farmer has a vision for their crops, God has a purpose for us to grow and to thrive.
And the way that a gardener cultivates some plants and removes others,
right.
That touches on God's blessing and judgment.
Doesn't it?
Like, we see echoes of this in the parables of Jesus, like the vine in John 15, a fruitless fig tree.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The image of God reflected here isn't just about the initial planting, but the ongoing care, the planning for growth, and also the evaluation of whether that growth is happening.
Right.
Think about a time you've invested effort in helping something grow,
mm-hmm.
whether it's a garden, a skill, or even a relationship.
Yeah.
Newman's perspective suggests that this nurturing instinct
mm-hmm.
reflects God's own care and intention for his creation.
That's a perspective that really shifts how you see those yeah. everyday tasks.
Yeah.
Okay, so our third category moves us into the animal kingdom.
Okay.
With God as the shepherd
Rich.
And us as the sheep. Mm-hmm. And this is such a prevalent image in the Bible.
It is. And Newman explores the many facets of this relationship.
Okay.
Just as a shepherd actively searches for a lost sheep.
Mm-hmm.
God seeks us out when we wander away.
Right, like we see in Isaiah 53.
Exactly.
And the parable of the lost sheep in Luke 15.
Yeah, that feeling you might have when you try to help someone who's gone astray could be a faint echo of this divine attribute.
Yeah, and the guidance a shepherd provides, leading the flock to good pasture, protecting them from danger,
mm-hmm.
that reflects how God leads and watches over his people.
Yes.
Like in Psalm 23, Psalm 80.
And the nourishment a shepherd gives.
Yeah.
That mirrors God providing for our needs,
uh-huh.
both physically and spiritually, as Psalm 23 also illustrates and as Ezekiel 34 kind of elaborates on.
Yeah.
Similarly, when you step in to protect someone vulnerable,
yeah.
you might be reflecting God's protection over his people,
mm-hmm.
as mentioned in Jeremiah and Ezekiel.
And even the comfort, the shepherd's rod.
Right.
In Psalm 23.
Yes, that sense of security and guidance.
Yeah, and this analogy extends to the idea of judgment, too, doesn't it?
It does.
The shepherd separating the sheep from the goats.
That image from Matthew 25
right.
speaks to God's ultimate role as judge,
mm-hmm.
distinguishing between those who follow him and those who don't.
So when humans act in ways that seek out those in need,
right.
offer guidance, provide yeah. for others, protect the vulnerable, or even exercise discernment.
Yeah.
We are, in a way, mirroring God's actions as the shepherd.
That's right.
Of his people.
And when you've felt lost and then found,
mm-hmm.
or when you've offered that kind of care to someone else,
yeah.
consider how that resonates with this shepherd-sheep relationship.
Yeah. It adds so much depth to those familiar yeah. biblical passages.
Absolutely.
All right, let's move on to how we relate within human society through the lens of the king and the subject.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here, Newman draws a parallel between God as the ultimate king
right.
and humanity as his subjects.
Yeah, okay.
Just as we inherently understand that a ruler deserves honor.
Uh-huh.
How much more so does God, as yeah. Malachi 1 emphasizes, yeah. our innate sense of respect
right.
for legitimate authority might stem from this reflection of God's kingship.
And a king has dominion, right?
Yeah.
Psalm 29 and 1 Timothy 6 speak to God's ultimate power and reign.
So even our own attempts at leadership and governance in whatever sphere of life
right.
might reflect this aspect of God's character.
Precisely. Mm-hmm. And the idea of a just king who upholds what is right, as alluded to in Luke 19 and Matthew 22,
yeah.
mirrors God's own justice and care for his people.
So in your interactions within your community, in mm-hmm. your engagement with authority, and in your own opportunities to lead or to act fairly.
Yeah.
You can see echoes of this king-subject dynamic.
Yeah. Newman's perspective suggests that our inherent understanding of justice
right.
and our respect for rightful authority
yeah.
are reflections of God's ultimate rule.
That's a really interesting way to frame
yeah.
our social interactions.
It is.
Finally, we come to the most personal of human connections.
Okay.
Family, the parent-child and husband-wife relationships.
Right.
And this feels particularly rich for understanding God.
Absolutely. Newman highlights that just as parents bring children into the world,
mm-hmm.
whether biologically or through adoption,
yeah.
God does both.
Right, as we see in John, Wephan Peter 1, Galatians 4, Romans 8.
And the natural expectation that children will, in some way, reflect their parents.
Right. That mirrors how believers are called to embody God's character through our actions.
Yeah.
And how we live, as 1 John 3 and Matthew 5 discuss.
That's a high calling.
It is.
Yeah.
And just as loving parents provide for their children's needs,
right.
God provides for us,
right, yeah.
as Matthew 7, Hebrews 12, and the poignant story of the prodigal son in Luke 15
mm-hmm.
illustrates so beautifully.
Yeah. So in your own experiences of being a child,
right.
a parent or even a mentor figure,
mm-hmm.
you can gain a deeper appreciation for God's parental love and care.
Yeah. And then there's the husband-wife relationship,
yeah.
which offers another profound way to understand God's connection with humanity.
Right.
The commitment within a marriage.
Yes, that symbolizes the deep and enduring covenant between God and his people.
Right. And the idea of mutual respect and love within a marriage, as mm-hmm. described in Ephesians 5, reflects the kind of relationship God desires with us.
Yes. And the joy shared between a couple reflects the joy God takes in his people,
mm-hmm.
as we see in passages like Psalm 45 and Isaiah 62.
Yeah, and the love a husband has for his wife.
That powerfully illustrates Christ's sacrificial love for the church.
Right.
Again, from Ephesians 5.
Yeah.
Ultimately, this husband-wife relationship provides a powerful image of the intimacy,
yeah.
love, and commitment that define God's relationship with those who follow him.
This analogy really highlights God's initiative in establishing a relationship.
Right.
His authority, the joy he finds in us,
yeah.
his profound love, and the deep connection we can have with him.
Right. And Dr. Peterson really emphasizes this remarkable thing that Newman points out.
Yeah.
Through these very human relationships, we can gain a small but significant understanding of what it is like to be God.
Why,
that's a profound realization.
Yeah.
When we experience the joys, challenges, and responsibilities inherent in these relationships,
mm-hmm.
we catch a glimpse, however fleeting, into the heart and character of God.
Right.
And as Dr. Peterson notes, reflecting on how our own parenting compares to God's perfect fatherhood,
yeah.
can be a deeply convicting and transformative exercise.
Absolutely. Yeah, your own experiences within your family and all its complexities
right.
offer profound insights into God's nature
yeah.
and his relationship with humanity.
Okay, so after exploring these relational analogies in detail,
right.
Dr. Peterson then steps back to offer a broader systematic synthesis,
okay.
drawing in other theological perspectives to give us an even fuller picture.
So what are some of the key ways that he summarizes the biblical teaching on the image of God?
Yeah, well, first he emphasizes that there are substantive, functional, and relational aspects
okay.
to it, drawing on thinkers like Aquinas and Brunner.
Mm-hmm.
The substantive aspect refers to something inherent in our being,
okay.
perhaps our capacity for reason or morality.
Mm.
The functional aspect relates to what we do,
mm.
how we exercise dominion over creation,
right.
and the relational aspect, which Newman's work so beautifully illustrates,
mm.
focuses on our connections with God and others.
Okay.
It's important to hold all these aspects together for a balanced understanding.
So it's not just one thing.
No.
It's a combination.
That's right.
Yeah. What's another key perspective that Dr. Peterson brings in?
The absolutely crucial one is Jesus Christ as the perfect image of God.
Okay.
He is the ultimate example of what humanity was meant to be
mm-hmm.
and the goal towards which we are being restored.
Right.
Jesus fully embodies the image of God
yeah.
and perfectly demonstrated it in his life on earth.
And then there's the historical perspective,
yes.
looking at how the image of God has been affected throughout history.
Exactly. We need to consider humanity as created in God's image,
mm-hmm.
then that image being marred by the fall,
right.
then being renewed in Christ through redemption,
yeah.
and ultimately being fully restored in the final consummation.
So it's this historical arc that helps us understand our current state and our future hope.
Exactly.
And beyond our relationship with God, what else does the image involve?
It involves our relationships with each other.
Okay.
And with the created world around us.
Mm-hmm.
Just as God is relational, we are created for connection.
Yeah.
How we interact with others and care for creation is a vital part of reflecting his image.
And finally, Dr. Peterson touches on this idea of humanity as a whole reflecting God's image.
Yes. He points out that the entire community of redeemed humanity
okay.
in all its diversity
mm-hmm.
is the fullest expression of the relational aspect of God's image.
Okay.
Think about the idea of spiritual gifts working together in the church.
Uh-huh.
Or the vision and revelation of people from every tribe and tongue worshiping together.
Right.
He also reminds us that the creation of male and female
mm-hmm.
reflects the relational nature of God.
Okay.
And even our physical bodies are part of how we image God.
Yeah.
As the means through which our souls express themselves
yeah.
and connect with the world.
It's fascinating to see how all these different pieces fit together to
yeah.
give us a more complete understanding.
Yeah.
Now, Dr. Peterson also briefly mentions
okay.
the constitutional nature of human beings as the next logical step
right.
in exploring what it means to be human.
Right. While it's a separate topic from Newman's specific focus on the image of God,
okay.
it deals with the fundamental makeup of humanity,
mm-hmm.
different views on whether we are primarily physical beings,
right,
or a combination of physical and spiritual and so on.
Okay.
He briefly touches on the biblical idea of an intermediate state after death, but before the final resurrection of the body,
right,
referencing passages like Luke 23.43 and Philippians 1.23.
Yeah.
The key point here is that while our full expression of God's image awaits the resurrection, there's a sense in which being in Christ's presence after death is a better state due to the absence of sin.
Right.
This sets the stage for understanding the ultimate fullness of the image in our resurrected bodies.
So as we bring this deep dive to a close,
okay,
what's the core message you'd want our listeners to take away from this exploration of Newman's ideas through Dr. Peterson's synthesis?
The most significant takeaway is that Newman's framework offers a powerful and relatable way to understand the image of God in you.
Right.
It's not just an abstract concept, but something actively demonstrated in your everyday connections and relationships.
Yeah.
The roles you inhabit, whether you're creating, caring, guiding, leading, or loving within your family, all provide glimpses into God's own character and how he engages with the world.
It really shifts the focus from just being made in God's image to actively reflecting that image through how we interact with others in the world around us.
Hallelujah.
It makes those seemingly ordinary moments take on a much deeper significance.
It encourages us to see our lives not just as individual experiences, but as constant opportunities to mirror the very nature of God through the way we relate to everything around us.
This has been a truly thought-provoking journey.
It has.
So for you, our listener, consider the relationships that shape your life.
Mm-hmm.
How might Newman's analogies offer you a deeper understanding of yourself and of God?
Yeah.
What new meaning can you find in your daily interactions, knowing that they might reflect something profound about the divine?
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps spend some time reflecting on the scriptures that we discussed today and see how these comparisons resonate with your own understanding.
Absolutely.
It's a rich area for contemplation.
It is.
And we hope this deep dive has provided you with some valuable new lenses through which to see your life and your place in the world.
That's our hope.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.